Welcome to the Mastery Podcast with your host, Mark Coles. I've dedicated the last 23 years as a fitness professional to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you, so let's get started. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mastery Podcast. Now, I am delighted to be bringing on an incredibly special friend of mine, but someone who I know that this should have been an episode that, well, you may have said, because we know each other for so long, why have you not done this sooner? But guys, I'm delighted today to have Kirk Miller with me. And we are here in Dubai, and we both ended up here. And what a special time to actually be recording this episode, because not only have we come a long way in terms of our friendship, but in terms of business and in life and relationships, and it just feels like a great time to do this. So, mate, Kirk, so delighted to have you with me.
Absolutely delighted to finally be on the Mark Coles Mastery Podcast. I don't want to contradict my message, Mark, of saying that I never believe there's a perfect time for anything, but I really believe, in terms of this conversation between me and you, ultimately to provide as much value for every single person that's listening, whether you're a coach, business owner, business leader, or just someone who loves looking for any tips, tricks, and value to grow. I feel I can provide significantly more value now, especially once Mark unpacks my story, even though he's just said some very, very kind things about where I'm at, personally, professionally, life's not been plain sailing for me, for sure, and I've made enormous mistakes. So if you're a coach listening to this, Mark's obviously just said some nice things about where I'm at, and I'm sure he'll elaborate on, you know, more specifically with that, but God, I've made some mistakes, and Mark, being a very close friend of mine, has seen me when I was a little bit more wild, to say the least, a few years back. So no, it's a great time, and my intention for anyone listening to this, if you can come away with one to three things that you can actually implement from my story, whether it's to do with my business, to do with my body, just personal standards, etc., then I'll be delighted.
Well, look, I wanted to give a little bit of an idea, because, you know, when people join the podcast like this, and they see a guest, they see me speaking to somebody similar age, and maybe they're a little bit younger, I just want to tell you what we're going to kind of unpack a bit in this episode. I think that's going to be important for you, so that you can hang around and make sure that, you know, there's value all the way through. Kirk is a coach that has been doing this a long time, come from professional sport. We'll talk about this in a second. But Kirk has built a world-class community of business leaders. It's not something he just chose. It's something that he's been spending years building. So you're going to listen to somebody who is a coach, an entrepreneur, an athlete, who has now built a brand and is helping people all the way around the world to achieve incredible results whilst running incredibly successful businesses and families and lives and travel. So as we go through this episode, keep that in your mind, that whatever Kirk is sharing with you, however far back we start at, we're going to get to somewhere that you more than likely will want to be at in some stage in your life. And as you listen to the stages that we go through, you're going to go, okay, I probably have to hang around there for a little while. There's lessons in every single part. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say, guys, you're going to learn a hell of a lot from an incredible coach, somebody that I've had a lot of fun with over the years, someone that I have a lot of respect with, someone that for a few years, you know, we saw less of each other, now we see more of each other, and there's lessons in that for everybody in terms of friendship and life. But let's go back, Kirk. I want to first and foremost, just for a little bit of a kind of chuckle, when we first met each other on the scene, on the fitness industry, you were, and before I knew you, you were Kirk Abs, in my mind, you are Kirk Abs Miller. Now, I have a quick little story for you. When I first heard that you were a men's health cover model, there was a lot of jealousy that ran through my veins. Still to this day, I think I feel. I feel that I should have had your spot. And I tell you why. When I got lean for the first time after a shoulder injury, I mean, I am God's gift, you know, even if I have a broken nose and a bald head, and maybe we're slightly different in that respect, but I got my abs out and I thought that I look great. So what I did is before I knew you, I applied for Men's Health as a cover model. And
I'd like to see the pitch you submitted and see what the size difference is from then to now.
NDA, GQ took it off Men's Health, and it's still not been published as a cover, but there's non-disclosure on this. But I will tell you that I applied for Men's Health, and when I met you and you were a Men's Health cover model, I think there was this immature jealousy that rang through me, but I tried to become a Men's Health cover model, got refused, no one replied. So tell the listeners, what's the story behind you and your Men's Health journey that made me so jealous?
Well, that always got makes it. Me laugh when
you got it.
If you could see, for anyone listening to this on podcast, I can see genuine disappointment in Mark's face just now. But look, on a serious note, winning the Men's Health cover model competition in 2010 was the single most pivotal moment in my life to date that got me out of a little bit of a hole, which, you know, I'll elaborate on very, very quickly. You know, to add some context, because I won the Men's Health Cover Model competition in 2010, as Mark has just beautifully shared. And this will probably make him even more sick if we haven't discussed this privately. The year before, I actually entered the Men's Health Cover Model competition in 2009. I didn't even submit the pictures. I didn't even write the 250-word write-up that you had to do to enter the competition. My friend Sonia did.
I sent mine in three times.
Yeah. Well, honestly, guys, listen to this. I was in a bit of a hole at that place, Mark, before I won that, because stripping back to my original dream, for anyone listening to this, I'm a council estate kid from Coventry. Didn't have things super smooth from an early age. I woke up at the age of 3, couldn't move my legs. So for anyone looking at my physique now or you know, maybe looking at my story, I got told by a specialist at the age of 6, the only sport you'd ever do was swim, when you knew I was obsessed with football. But I put pretty much paid to that very, very quickly, Mark, and I'm becoming very, very good at football. So the original dream, before all the Men's Health stuff and before where I'm at now, was be a professional footballer, okay? And from the age of 10 to 20, that was going pretty smooth. I got picked up by Coventry City at 10. I'm one of the few people that can say they turned down Manchester United when they were a fantastic team, when Sir Alex Ferguson was the manager, Cantona, Keane, Giggs, Beckham. So the dream was to be a footballer. I'd attached my whole identity to being a footballer, which I know we'll unpack in greater depth today too. Simply put, aside from the first knockback of realising my knees were not in a good spot when I was younger, I was the kid at school that was captain of every football team. Not a lot went wrong, especially from a sporting and a mindset perspective. Turned down Manchester United at 13 because Coventry City offered me a professional contract, which was mental, really, Mark, because if you'd have said to me, what do you want to be and what do you want to do, it would have been, as a kid, it would have been, I want to be a Manchester United footballer. Yet I turned them down because Kurt Miller from Council State Coventry didn't believe he was good enough. That so-called safe option of me signing or agreeing a professional contract at the age of 13, 7 years later, I get released from that safe option in a 30-second conversation by Gary McAllister. So the first time in my life I got told I wasn't good enough. Now, hear me out on this, guys, because you're probably thinking, what's this got to do with like men's health? And, you know, how did that change things? Well, at the age of 20, when I got released by Coventry City, even though I've got the six pack, you know, I'm in great shape, I was broken. Right? Because I just didn't know what to do. I'd had to touch my whole purpose, my whole identity being a footballer. Then you're faced with the decision. What do you do professionally? And I took a safe option. A lot of my friends were in the trade industry, plumbing, gas engineers, electricians. So I retrained as a gas engineer because apparently you get lots of money. You'll always have work because obviously people always need plumbing work. Yeah, they do, and you will make lots of money if you're actually good at it and you're passionate about it, which I totally wasn't. So from the age of 20 to 25, 26, I was a plumber, gas engineer, still the rip guy in the gym. But lost Mark, and I was the guy that would pick up this Men's Health magazine, probably like a lot of guys, if you relate to me, if you're in your 30s, 40s and 50s, you know, you probably pick that up. And even if you're a coach, maybe even now, you might pick up that magazine, because I had enormous amounts of messages from coaches after winning Men's Health going, I'd love to be on that,
Isn't it a starting point for a lot of people? That magazine, Muscle and Fitness, for so many of us, I used to buy them all.
All the time. So from the age of 20, 26, I'm buying that every single month. And I'd be talking to my friends, I'm in better shape than that guy. Or I look similar to him. But I didn't believe I was good enough. Yeah. And what happened was, in 2009, my friend Sonia, who I owe an awful lot to, she said to me, Kirk, I think you should enter this competition. So she was actually the one fast tracking to the point here of Mark saying about Men's Health. How did this all happen? 2009, she entered me into the competition. I actually made the final. Get this, missed the phone call because I was fitting a toilet in the job that I didn't like. Right, naively and like lazy at the time, and this is why I got. Guys, anyone listen to this, even though now, if you were to meet me, and even by the end of this podcast, you realize I'm very intense, I'm unapologetically relentless in everything I do, okay? I want to look the part, I want to feel the part, I want to be successful, I want to squeeze as much out of my life to give more, to contribute more as possible. But in 2009, when I missed that phone call, I didn't call them back for a week because I thought, they would just call me. But if I'm being even more honest than that, Mark, I was that despondent with life because I wasn't living with true purpose that I just didn't believe that after the knockback from Coventry City, that there's no way a kid from Coventry, a 25, 26 year old is going to get picked from Men's Health. And guess what? You reap what you sow. I called them back a week later. I said, hi Claire, I've missed a phone call from you. I believe I've made the Men's Health final. She said, Kirk, you did. But unfortunately, we've had to give your place to someone else because you called back too late. Because what they did with Men's Health, Mark, is they only gave you 10 to 12 days notice because they didn't want someone who was prepping for 9 months.
Oh, right. To get in shape. Only look lean for a week.
Exactly. They wanted that everyday person that was in shape year round, which I was, but they're giving their place to someone else. And so between 2009 and 2010, Mark, I still push on with my training. To be fully transparent, I was the guy, young guy, living for the weekend, train all week because I hated my job, was in poor relationships, partly because I had a poor relationship with myself. I had destructive behaviour patterns at the weekend. So even though I'm the rip guy, come the weekend, couldn't wait to get absolutely smashed on alcohol, drugs, binge eating, you know, on the bloody come down on the Sunday. And then in 2010... same friend Sonia said, Kirk, I think you should enter this competition again. I've got a good feeling about this. Well, she had more belief in me than I did in myself. She did the write-up again, right? I think maybe...
So again, this is somebody that sees something in you that you still couldn't see for yourself. Well, am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is why I'm so passionate now as a coach. And I'm one of my most unique gifts is seeing limiting beliefs in people because I've been there myself.
So your superpower is essentially every time you see anybody, whether it's 10 years, 5 years ago coaching, right now, if you see somebody that basically is missing a trick in their life that can be better, it's almost like you're just refusing to let them go without actually seeing that.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, my why, I help others become the person they've always been capable of. You know, it's I have a little quote as well. It's my own personal quote. Be happy with who you are, but always believe you're capable of becoming more. And why I can speak from the heart with that, Mark, because I know the lack of self-belief let me down at 13 when I turned down Manchester United and signed for Coventry. 7 years later, failed.
Can I just ask you, why did you take... Now you're many years ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
This safe... You mentioned it a few times.
Yep.
I know there's so many younger coaches that are going to be, you know, I had an opportunity here, I had an opportunity there. Yep. I played sport, I played rugby at a decent level. I didn't, you know, get to premiership level like football with you. But the funny thing is, I also played for Leicester Tigers at 18 and went to the academy.
It's a phenomenal achievement. It's an unbelievable standard.
When I was there, they gave me every opportunity to be the best I can, and I didn't take it. Mm. Now, in reflection, I didn't take it because my purpose and calling was fitness as opposed to rugby. How have you unpacked that decision to, in your perception, downgrade to Coventry and stay safe? Now you're older. Have you unpacked that in your head, that you chose the safe option?
Yeah.
How have you kind of unraveled what that meant to you now you're older?
I suppose in a way, Mark, you know, the way I've put peace to that, because ultimately the meaning you place on things is going to dictate how you feel about that situation or circumstance in your life. That was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the coach I am today. I wouldn't be the leader I am today or striving to be today if I hadn't been through those experiences. There's no accidents in life. You know, if I hadn't have been through that pain of failing at football, then being in a job for 6 years that I didn't like, or being in relationships that didn't work, or having a knockback and multiple failures, you wouldn't be able to see it as quickly and as sharply as a coach right now. So these are all perfect experiences. And looking back, and obviously now with being 40 this year, and this is why we get on so well, Mark, you know, is you just detect problems quicker. And I believe all these experiences, they provide a shortcut in helping you master that given area. So, for example, when it comes to mindset and belief, as you'll hear on this podcast today, and anything, you'll know when I do a video, even on my social media, the things I'm even more passionate about because I don't want anyone to go through that pain or live with a limiting belief for longer than it needs to be. And the harsh reality is this: if you're a coach listening to this, or you're a business owner, whatever, you're going to have clients that leave you. You're going to have things that don't go your way. You're going to have months where you don't hit targets, basically where you don't get what you want. Mm. Tough shit, right? It's how you deal with it that's going to dictate how far you go in your career or ultimately how happy you are, you know, internally. So,
and this is interesting, right? Because you and me, very similarly, I was in surveying. Mm-hmm. I was in something that I didn't enjoy. And you were in a job you didn't enjoy, but around you all the time was fitness, fitness, gym, abs. I went through 5 years in property, 4.5 years of property, working for my dad's company, then working for another firm of surveyors. And I wrote about this in my book. And all around me was the gym, muscle and fitness, GQ, looking at all these magazines of people in shape. It was very evident to me that fitness and being in the fitness industry, but I didn't move into it. I identified why that was fear, not recognizing patterns around me, which were actually the values that I had.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches are doing things right now they don't enjoy, but they actually want to be in fitness.
Yeah.
What gave you that, I can see this going on around me, maybe I should be a PT?
I think, you know, that's a great question, Mark. I mean, there's so many different ways I could probably unpack this, but the obvious thing for me, I'm sure the same with you, you know, when you realize, well, I love the gym. I get energized every time I'm lifting weights. I'm doing my cardio. I'm around people who love health and fitness. I actually think when I left Coventry that the reason I didn't go straight into coaching, for example, even though it was staring me in the face. I mean, Mark, I was the guy, even from the age of 20 to 26, when I'm doing that plumbing job, which I hated, straight after work, I'd be training with a training partner, Smithy, one of my best friends. I'm basically personal training without getting paid because I'd always lead the session. I'm always dictating what we do in a positive way, of course, but I'm always pushing, but I'm not getting paid. I know it's my friend, but deep down it's the enthusiasm I did that was staring me in the face. And I think also, I think that I listen to generic opinions about coaching of, oh, personal trainers, they don't make that much money. And it wasn't really a real job. Does that make sense? When, let's be clear here, guys, and I know we'll impact this in relation to the service now that I provide with the levels I've gone to with a team now and a community. You know, a great coach, you're changing lives. Mm. When someone is paying you as a coach, whether it's in the gym or as an online coach / service, that is an enormous responsibility you need to take, that someone is paying them money to put your health in their hands. Mm. Which, for me, that is an insane responsibility, and that's an amazing job. Like, yes, I know there's doctors and you know dentists and stuff like that. We coach a lot of these people, but a lot of doctors, as great as they might know a certain prescribe a certain medication, they're unhealthy.
A lot.
So we can actually help people, in my opinion, more than some average doctors who don't even ask a patient or what's your diet like if they're ill or they're struggling. So as a coach listening to this, like, I think one of the reasons I was tentative maybe about going into coaching,
because what people said it was,
because what people said it was, yeah. when deep down now, what I realize now, if I look at the impact I'm having on clients' lives, they're in better relationships because of what we're doing. You know, they're performing better at work because of what we're doing. They're better role models for the people they love most, which is generally their partner and their children and their you know, immediate family. That is an enormous amount of responsibility. So that's but it was too obvious at the time.
Yeah. And then, and just like me, similarly, you got to the point where you became a PT.
Yep.
What was the switch? Yep. Many will relate to this. What was the switch that said, I'm going to become a PT?
Well, yeah, again, great question. So when I won that men's health competition in 2010, which I'll just very quickly tell you a funny story about that. So even though so my friend Sonia's entered me in the competition again, my weekend habits during that period were still shocking because I was still living for the weekend because I had no purpose. When I received that phone call for 2010, Mark, I remember, I can literally feel it to this day. So picture the scene. I'm in a plumbing van, which was a company vehicle. Okay, I was hungover from the weekend, and I'd just been on a two-week all-inclusive holiday with a previous partner in Mexico, where I'd ate myself to death, even though I went there shredded. And I was actually getting called Rambo around the pool by these Americans. It was so funny. So I go there, ripped, eat myself to death, didn't train for 2 weeks. Then come back, had a big weekend because I think England were playing, right? Probably end up in a strip club, no, me as well, right? And then I'm in this plumbing van on a Monday. And I'm about to go to Greg's, you know, the pasty still thing?
The sandwich still,
right, to go and eat shit because I'm hungover. And then I received this phone call, and it's Claire Matthews. And she said, hi, it's Claire, it's from Men's Health. I'm like, hi, Claire. Oh, I was like, completely took me by surprise. And she says, yeah, you've made the Men's Health final. I'm like, Claire, did you leave a voicemail last year? She said, yes, I remember, Kirk, and you called us back and we had to give you place to someone else. And I went, thank God I've answered this phone call. I said, oh, great, okay, when's this Men's Health competition?
She said, not the next day.
I said, 11 days. and look, anyone listening to this who understands how quickly, if you understand, if you're a coach listening to this, you know how quickly your body can change, good and bad, in the space of 11 days. And I'm thinking, shit. But guess what, Mark? I knew in my mind I was going to win. It was a weird feeling. I thought the universe is trying to tell me something here, right? Yeah. And the only difference, I'd say, from 2009 to 2010, Mark, I started immersing myself into personal development, reading The Secret, Dr. Wayne Dyer. You know, my friend started sending me these videos. It started to change how I looked at the world, even though I was by no means where I am today. And I knew I was going to win. Anyway, long story short, I ended up winning the competition. But just in reference to Mark's question, when I went into, you know, what got me, what did I do to get to personal training then? That was the third lesson in life, in my opinion, after the Manchester United lesson where I chose the safe option with Coventry and failed. At the age of 20, I chose the safe option as a plumber, and that didn't work out too well. I was 6 years of a lot of unhappiness. That was the third lesson in life. Are you finally going to trust yourself, believe in yourself, and take a calculated risk and perhaps follow something you love doing and see what happens, and lean into an uncomfortable option? The safe option, Mark, would have been stay in the plumbing job. You'll always know what you're having week to week, right? Maybe make some extra money on a weekend from a foreign, as they're called, right? But I just thought, fuck it. I knew in my heart then that that should do thing needed to become a must. And what was interesting, Mark, I quit my job with 5 hours personal training. This is gospel. And I remember saying to my parents, friends, you know, I'm gonna quit my job, be a personal trainer. They went, what about your bills? What about if it goes wrong? I just had enough, and I quit my job with 5 hours personal training. And not many people know this, Mark. I didn't even have a car when I quit my job, because the vehicle I was using to get around was the plumbing van. And because I didn't need a car at the weekend because I was getting pissed. So, but for me to personal train, what do I do? So I lent a van off one of my friends who was he had a building business, and that kept breaking down on the way to and from back from the gym. So, but I just thought, if I can just get through this first couple of months and make enough money to get a car, that's going to be one hurdle. And look, what happened within a few weeks, as you do when you follow your passion, follow your purpose, I got very busy, had a full diary within a couple of weeks. managed to save up to get a car, and then obviously became the big fish in a small pond in Coventry. Obviously, during this same period, after winning the men's health competition, lots of great opportunities, of course, where I got picked up by Grenade. They're now obviously a carb killer bar. Massive respect to Al Barrett. What a great guy he is. But at the time, they were a fat burner, right? Which is polar opposites where it is now. But yeah, that's when I was getting, I got picked up by Grenade. Better Bodies, one of the clothing companies, yeah, Swedish brand. And I'm the guy that's on the billboards at Body Power, you know, going into the NEC, and just lots of great opportunities on that side. From the fitness modelling front, you know, went on to obviously get record covers with Men's Fitness. Got two covers off that first men's health shoot. So that was great. So it created great exposure. And obviously allowed me then to finally pursue my passion and purpose as a coach. But the one thing I would say at that period, I was a glamorized motivator, unbelievable at drawing great reps out of people, but I still wasn't a great coach. And obviously one of the things that, look, Mark will be very humble in this, a few years after that, of course, that's when I started going across to M10. I realized there was levels to this game, and that the actual personal trainers in M10 under Mark were significantly better than me in terms of execution with biomechanics and just standards as a whole. So thankfully, obviously, meeting Mark obviously elevated my standards dramatically as a personal trainer. But even since then, and especially now if you're a coach listening to this, it doesn't help you change lives long term or provide the service, in my opinion, needed to really transform someone's life far beyond a physical transformation. You know, so I know I needed to learn a hell of a lot more alongside that, Mark.
Can I ask you a question then, which is, you know, we'll really get into your ethos of coaching and your brand that you have and what people can take away from what it's taken to get there. How important, having been Kirk Abbs-Miller for many years and being in shape, how important is it for a personal trainer or an online trainer to be a reflection of their craft, being in shape? How important do you feel in our industry, given there are large percentages that are trying to make something of themselves in what is a shallow, if we call it a shallow world? I think people will relate to the word shallow, but ultimately it's just, is it shallow, the fact that people look at you and go, yes, I can see that that person walks the walk because they are in shape? I mean, do you feel, and we are called shallow very often in the fitness industry, I actually just think it's a responsibility that we have. At the age of 45, I feel it's a responsibility to talk to 21-year-old fitness instructors and PTs and be in shape. Not jacked, not shredded, but what's your opinion on this?
I feel so strongly about this. I think it's a total responsibility. You cannot be a hypocrite. How can someone pay you to get and keep them in shape if you can't do it yourself? How? It's a non-negotiable. Even my team, right? I make no apologies for being very demanding and saying that we stay in shape. If we have obviously physical meetups and events now, Mark, and look, you don't need to be shredded by any means. Like, you know, you might have performance goals where you're putting on a little bit of size, whatever it is, okay? But you can't have your shape. You can't have your clients, in my opinion, working harder than you, in better shape than you. Long story short, more disciplined than you. I think it says a hell of a lot about your character, the way you carry yourself. You know, if you are trying to be a world-class coach, with the way you present yourself. And for me, you just can't ask someone to do something you're not prepared to do yourself. And also as well, I think if you haven't been in shape or been able to stay in shape, you're not going to be able to emotionally connect on a deeper level as a coach if you've not been there yourself. You don't know what it takes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not perfect with this. You know, I've been in shape now for, well, my whole life pretty much. I'll go as far as saying I believe I'm one of the most consistent men on this planet, right? And I don't want to pat on the back for that. It's what I do, and I have no excuse. I've had world class mentors. I come from a professional football background. I've been mentored by Colsey, friends with Don Saladino. I'm very lucky to have my peers in the industry who are absolutely unbelievable mentors or friends who've just pointed me in the right direction with certain things and raised my standard. It's what I do, you know. But too many coaches, they think that doesn't matter. right?
They're expecting to get somewhere without.
And guess what? Like, there's a hell of a lot of coaches out there now. Your client's going to trust what you say more if they see you demonstrate it. And that's another thing with me, Mark. Like, I say to my team all the time, and I speak about this maybe slightly controversially on social media. Anyone can write a great post. You can copy and paste, or you can outsource that. Brilliant. Okay, demonstrate. Don't just talk. Demonstrate, because yes, people will listen to your words, but they'll listen even more if they see your actions and see how you demonstrate. And I suppose it comes down to levels, Mark. There's no judgment, but and it depends on your demographic to some degree as well. But just if you're not willing to get and stay in shape, in my opinion, accept that your coaching career is probably going to be mediocre, and you're going to have to put a cap on that at some point about how far financially you're going to go, and the volume of clients that you're going to work with, and the caliber of clients. Because as Mark will unpack on this, when I first came into coaching, I was 26. I've been coaching nearly 14 years. Okay, I coach pretty much anyone, because when you first start, you can't be too choosy with who you work with. All right, and you're not as good. Let's be honest, mm-hmm. right? You're not as good. It takes time to become a great coach, okay? It takes time. When you first come in the industry, you think, oh God, I'm ripped, especially me, Mark. I'm the guy that's on the covers of the magazines and, you know, get my ass kissed at exhibitions. Still enormously insecure deep down. Didn't have a clue about personal development, even though I believe I always had a natural gift, Mark, for detecting how to motivate someone. But I didn't understand how to optimize people's lifestyle management, you know, outside of the gym, and deal with relationships and values and all these different things, identity shifts, right? So you have to evolve with this. But for me, you can say all the right things. And there's a lot of people out there that can talk about mindset. Like me and Mark, you know, he spoke on my podcast. I could speak for days and days and days about mindset and values and all this type of stuff. Guess what? It doesn't make you eat good food, be disciplined to eat good food, train hard, keep yourself healthy. You know, and as a coach, yes, of course, we're trying to scale businesses and systems. And look, I'm obsessive about that. I love entrepreneurship now. But to give you some context, I have a Trello board which breaks down exactly, right, my meetings, my reporting, my commitments monthly, weekly, quarterly, daily. I have on that Trello board 2 hours blocked out, including travel time, etc., to look after me, to work out and work on me, because I'm the number one asset as the leader of my ship, and I want to be the one of the primary sources of inspiration for every single person who is trusting me with thousands of pounds to protect and expand their health.
You place a huge amount of responsibility on yourself to lead.
You can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Guess what? One of the things as a coach, right, that people are coming to you to achieve, yes, they might say on the front end, I want to drop 20 pounds or I want to pack on 5 kg of muscle. Beneath that, people are trying to change how they see themselves from an identity perspective. Mm-hmm. They're trying to elevate more confidence, more belief, more energy, so they can give more for multiple different reasons, right? But you can't give what you don't have. And I really believe as one of the leaders of the ship, especially as a coach, okay, the people investing in you are only going to take their level of confidence as far as yours. Mm. So if you can optimize your confidence with how you feel, how you look, so you've got confidence internally with your emotions and you look the part externally, you're going to lift that client continually. And you're going to continually stretch their vision. Because we all know, and that's why I have so much respect for Mark, unfortunately, you can't take your foot off the pedal with great physical shape. I said to my clients at the start of the year, right? And again, this is where the straight talk comes out in me. We gave Built to Last Hall of Famers awards out at the last event, something I wanted to do for a while, okay? I gave them awards out to clients who not only transformed, but they're still in shape. I don't care if someone's transformed, but they go backwards. For me, you've failed.
This quick win mentality that people are celebrating.
You failed as a coach. And I've been this coach in my younger years, so there's no judgment. If your client's been in shape for one transformation, but then they look shit a year later, okay? So I said to my clients, even at the start of the year, Mark, and my team, awesome, hope you had a great break, blah, 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 blah. okay, what you did last year doesn't matter. You can't take those sessions with you last year into this year because they're already done. If you ate healthy last year, right, you've got new meals to eat this year, right? You can't get complacent. And I think there's just a lot of coaches that get complacent. And if you get complacent, the people investing you are going to become complacent. Guess what? If you're a coach listening to this, how fucking annoying is it when you've got an inconsistent client who or is good for a week or two after they've invested, but then you're chasing up for messages, not doing what you ask them to do. You're going to have more congruency and more thump when you speak if you know in your heart your own personal standards are high with how you eat, how you train, how you live, how you speak. When you're asking someone to do the same, they'll feel that energy, they'll feel that belief. And I think it's such a competitive world out there, right? You'll get, I just believe, Mark, people are going to get found out if they can't speak with 100% certainty. But that certainty comes from doing the work yourself consistently, not picking and choosing the weeks and the months you show up. So I know that was a bit of a long-winded way of answering your question. But I wanted to add some depth to this, okay? If, as you've got a coaching business and you get stressed and pissed off, you know, when clients come and go or they're consistent for a month or two, but then they back off, don't be a hypocrite yourself. Just make sure that you're looking after yourself as well, and you'll just be able to handle these situations a lot more quickly with the communication.
Something I really want to get into today, which is going to provide a huge amount of value to everybody listening to this, not only your journey and your commitment to being in shape, but Built to Last is your business. Built to Last is a brand that I've watched you build, all right, over the last 6 years?
I would say
I really
honed in on the business leader, entrepreneur, CEO, etc., that type of market, probably about 5 years ago. About 5 years ago. Because, as I said, when I first came in the industry, and this will probably relate to a lot of coaches, you know, you sort of pretty much coaching anyone because you can't be that choosy. Then you evolve. Don't forget, I've got older during that period. And I genuinely think your biggest clue to who you should be probably helping is, you know, what excites you and who are you as a person? Because if you are clear with that, you can usually identify, right, if I know what excites me or I know the problems that I can solve day to day in my life, like, you're going to be able to help solve other people in that similar situation. So when I was breaking down, you know, that demographic, one thing that helped with that was, what are the traits of my best clients, you know, that I love working with? And all of them were generally leaders, they're driven, they have to manage people, teams. And that's when, you know, that gave me that feedback. And with me then, Mark, I'm not a person, as you know, who dips a toe in anything. I thought, if I'm going to be an exceptional coach in this space and be able to help people, as much as I physically can, I just wanted to learn everything I possibly could about that demographic of clients, so I could provide solutions to the problems in this space. And I've just took it from strength to strength since.
And is it for coaches out there? I mean, the goal, there's a lot of coach, whether you're a PT or an online coach, the goal really is to have that phone call from your dream client. Want to work with you. Want to go from here to here, seeing the results that you've achieved. Could you give some perspective to coaches that think that is going to happen in year one or within the first 6 months? I mean, you and I talked about this recently, Kurt. I was privileged to speak at your last event in Dubai and to sit at the table with these business leaders. And I'll say this as, you know, live on here, how proud I was of you, without being patronizing to you, a friend, that you've been able to actually go out there and talk with authenticity and a backstory and a history and credibility, and then have this whole table filled with, as our great friend Chris Bailey used to say, your vibe attracts your tribe. You know, and they're all around this table. And all these coaches that we work with and we know, and they're like, you know, I want to work with my dream client. They're just not doing the things that's going to attract the dream client. What's your advice to trainers that want to watch you? And a lot of coaches do tell me, you spoke at my event very kindly, and a lot of our coaches watch you. What's the secret to getting to work with your dream client? And should they be expecting to have that within the first 6 to 12 months?
Act like your dream client, first and foremost. And that, again, comes down to your standards, Mark. And it takes time. It takes time. It simply takes time. And if I think of the hierarchy of clientele that I've had, from the age of, say, 26 to, well, 40 now, it's no coincidence that as I've upped my game from a discipline perspective, learnt more, been able to provide more value, of course, got catalogues of results, that's allowed you to attract a better quality of client. Because if you think you're going to attract a world-leading business leader, and Mark, I'm very fortunate enough to work with some absolute fucking monsters, to put it bluntly, in business, right, who they keep you on your toes in a positive way, you needed skin in the game to do that. And that takes time. That takes time. Because, Mark, let's be honest here, and everyone's got their own demographic and all that type of stuff. To be as ballsy with my promise of I will get business leaders in the best physical and mental shape of their lives and unleash from within wavering confidence they never thought possible without compromising their lifestyle. Okay, that's a big statement, right? And to do that, I need evidence that I've kicked off someone with a transformation journey, got them transformed, and as I put out the other day, I've got after transformations, that person's still in shape. Whilst a lot of my clients, give some context, they're on planes, living at hotels, they are genuinely high-pressured, you know, high-performing individuals. That takes time to learn how to deal with these clients, and it's just patience. So I think you need to really understand, like, if you're trying to work with a better quality of client, ask yourself, what are you doing to attract a better quality of client? Does your social media, for example, or your website, however you like to market, does that demonstrate that you can solve problems with the client you keep telling yourself that you want to attract? Have you got catalogues of results? Are you in amazing shape? Are you actually inspiring that ideal client to start conversation with you, or at least follow you for an extended period of time, or potentially join and spend money on you? And if you can't answer that with 100% certainty, yes, what do you need to do better? Like, what do you need to upgrade your personal standards? Do you need to learn to talk better? Do you need to show more? Again, not just talk of how you train. Do you need to show more things from your clientele, right? And as we'll come on to now, and this is what's took a hell of a lot longer to build, obviously Mark spoke at one of our events, have you got a community of these people that is going to help you attract more of these people? Because that community, Mark, takes time to build. Because I had a limiting belief even with that when I first started, when I started working with entrepreneurs, business owners, and for some it may be true, basically they're too busy, they're not going to engage in a Facebook group. Even when before you've run your first event, I'm sure you've been there, Mark, in your younger days. Oh God, are people going to show up? But if you do the work and you keep leading, you keep demonstrating and keep going above and beyond, right, then it'll come. But I just think sometimes people just don't want to do the dirty work when you're not getting that immediate gratification. You're not getting that immediate win. For example, when I first started the Built to Last private Facebook community, do you think my engagement was high? Absolutely not. I'm doing videos knowing that there's going to be no engagement. And when I first started that community, my clientele was nowhere near the quality. So you're sort of having to talk as if you've got your dream clients before it's happened, and just keep being that person. And then eventually, as Mr. Bailey said, yeah, your vibe attracts your tribe. But it's when it's all said and done, it's about fucking results. It's as simple as that. And that takes time. And I think a lot of the time, yes, I know, we're trying to market. What's the best market tactic, structure of socials and all this stuff? I say this to, obviously, my social team who help my scheduling and stuff. Nothing is going to help attract dream clients and multiple dream clients more than social proof.
Yep.
That's it. Like, you know, for me, if I could have my social media, right, and this is the goal, where every day I've got a transformation going out, boom. I would take that all day long over listening to my big mouth You know, if there was, you know, 20 days in a week, of course, I want to provide value as much as possible, but nothing's going to inspire someone to pick up the phone, book a call with you, then seeing someone who's been where you were, and you've got evidence, proof that that coach can take you from where you are to where you want to be.
And what with this, what is the trait of yourself that within the last 1 to 2 years you've changed or worked on the most that's enabled you to get more out of your business leaders that you've even challenged yourself on to become better at?
Yeah, again, a great, great question. Well, first and foremost, I have a constant state of improvement mentality. Like, if something can be done better, it gets done, right? And then also, you know, one of the courses that I did was with Brenda Burchard. He wrote the book High Performance Habits. He's a world-leading high performance expert. Like Mark, I'm just obsessed now with, if someone I believe is better than me in a given area, how can you just sponge off that person the way I've done with Mark with personal training, you know, with different mentors and different courses? So Brendan Burchard, he has an exercise, and I've used this question with clients, and maybe ask yourself this as a coach, and it's, what's made you successful? What will continue to make you successful? Who are you at your best? And usually the words that are going to, the words you can, that are going to help identify that are preceded with the words I am. So for me, I recite majority of mornings, what three words is Kirk Miller at his best? And the three words that excite me to keep my standards high, world-class, I am world-class, I am consistent, and I operate with obscene standards. And I know this sounds a little bit weird as well, Mark, but what keeps me on point as well is reminding myself every single morning, what is my why, what is my mission, what is my purpose, and who do I need to be to make that a reality? Like, so I could say that just off the cuff now, right? I say these words to myself in the mirror, and I'm not one of these guys, you know, I know there's a lot of controversy around affirmations and stuff at the minute, right? I believe affirmations and incantations, as Mr. Tony Robbins says, are unbelievable if you follow them up with action, right? So every single morning I will stare in the middle of a vision board, right, or in the mirror and say, you know, I help others become the person they've always been capable of. I am a world-class leader, speaker, and high-performance coach that helps driven global business leaders aged 40 to 60 to get in the best physical, mental shape of their life and unleash from within unwavering confidence they never thought possible. By being ruthlessly consistent and operating with high energy and standards, I will change the lives of millions of people all around the world, be a phenomenal success in business, and be able to provide financial freedom for my family. Mark, again, there's no script. I've got no note in front of me for those of you listening to that. I don't want a medal, right?
No, there's nothing.
But if you are saying that with intent, with purpose and emotion and with feeling, and then acting on that, you condition that over and over and over again. I'm not going to say that and then contradict that by then eating shit or not trying to show up as a great leader or drive business or drive results or drive team. Of course, I'm not perfect. I fuck up. I make mistakes every week. But you're going to win more than you lose. And more importantly, you're going to be that person more often if you are crystal clear with who you need to be at your best. But even that, Mark, it took work. It took investment. It took investment. Like the amount of personal development.
And not just on courses, but investment in time and effort.
In time, because guess what?
Amongst your own head and thoughts.
Guess what? Just showing up to a course, or even if you're listening to the investing in Mark, you still need to do the fucking work.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. Think about this as a coach. Would you agree, if you're a coach listening to this, if a person implemented how you wanted them to train, to eat, basically how you want them to live in relation to their goals, they're going to change, right? Okay. But they have to, you know, they've still got to do the work. So even if you're a coach and you've been on courses, or you've got a current mentor, you've had a mentor, you still need to absorb that information and then act on it. And you know, because I know a lot of people who've been in different courses or say they've read 50 million books. It means nothing if you're not going to implement. And what I've just tried to do over the last 14 years, without even realizing it at the start, but even more consciously, you know, over the last sort of 5 to 10, is you detect a trait in someone, okay? You know, obviously, again, with Mark, learned so much from Mark. You know, we've got, obviously, mutual friend in Phil. You got your Brendan Burchard, your Tony Robbins, the Don Saladinos. They haven't fluked the way to success. But what has made them successful, and what do they have that I don't have that I need to up my game in? And it's a growth-minded mentality. And so, yeah, look, but I think having a clear why, mission, purpose statement that ties in with your values, and more importantly, the person you need to be to live in accordance to those values and mission, when you can just say that thing off the cuff the way I just have, yeah, 100%.
And it's congruency and certainty. And I think certainty and knowing what you're all about, again, takes time, takes maturity, takes going through plenty of ups and downs, and actually being prepared to just go through this journey called life and learn from it.
And also, Mark, don't get emotionally attached to the wins. Don't get emotionally attached to the drawbacks. We've all had clients leave. We've all had moments that weren't quite as successful, okay? It's no different to a client coming to you who has dropped weight, dropped fat for the first couple of months, then their weight holds or it goes up, and then they panic. It's annoying, right, when a client comes to you saying that, right? It happens. It's not it's not a straight linear line. You had to bounce with the ups and the downs also, you know, in myself. And it just, you need yards. You need to put the hard yards, you need experience. If you think about where I'm at now, even from when you spoke at my event last year, Mark, I've got another year of results, another year of experience with my demographic. And I don't get complacent even with that. So even though Mark said some kind words about my event, which was great, even after that event, I'm evaluating, okay, what went well? What didn't go so well? Looking back at that first event, I tried to squeeze too much in a short period of time because it was my first event and I'm trying to go, God, I need to squeeze as much as I can in, because maybe there's that little bit of imposter syndrome of, oh God, people are flying from the UK, from America to Dubai, spending lots of money. I need to make sure that I pack every single minute of the day. Yeah. Deep down, it's probably a little bit too much. But my point is, even like Mark said kind things about that, I'm still evaluating how can it be done better. Of course, you celebrate what went well. You need to celebrate your wins. But I think the greatest leaders that I'm fortunate enough to coach and I'm friends with, they're always asking, how can it be better? And I continually demand more from myself. And that gives me the internal permission to ask more from other people, whether it's a client or my team, because I lead by example on that front.
Well, listen, Kirk, we'll do more of these because I also want to unpack the community aspect and what Built to Last and how that's been achieved. And I know a lot of people will message me after this saying, just like our scale clients did when you came and presented in London, we'll be having you back. Obviously, we spend more time together now when we're in Dubai. I just want to say thank you, and thank you on behalf of all the listeners, because I know they've got huge value from that, and that's exactly today's what I hoped it would be for everybody, from somebody that's got your experience and knowledge. Just for everybody who can follow you and watch this journey with your business, what's the best place for people to follow or listen and learn?
No, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Mark, and as you probably guessed, me and Mark could probably speak for like 3 days without even coming up for air. But yeah, so very grateful for anyone's time also listening to this. But yeah, if you want to find me at my social media handle, it's pretty much Kirk Miller across the board. On Instagram, it's Kirk Miller _. And I do have my own podcast, the Kirk Miller Podcast, where I bring on great guests such as Mark. and yeah, just provide as much value as possible. But my biggest take home, because I know we'll maybe speak about community, you know, in future episodes. But if you are a coach, and I sort of said this at Mark's event, and you're trying to build a great community, which I believe is essential. Yep. If you want clients to stick with you long-term, they're going to come for the physical, but they're going to stay for the emotional and the mental and the peer group. Put the work into that. Be good with people. Care just as much about the collective energy you are trying to create within the community as you are with getting someone to stick to their meal plan. Because one of the key things I believe that creates lasting change, Mark, is peer group and environment, because that normalizes the standards you're trying to create within the client. So don't get complacent with that, and yeah, treat that as a high priority if you're trying to keep a great business, because people will stay with you long term for that. Because most people, don't forget, are coming to you as a coach because they don't have people with high standards with health, fitness, training, food from their friends, their colleagues, their partners. So you want your community to be that beacon of hope and that continual thing that people look forward to engaging in, whether it's virtually and at physical events. And guess what? Your enjoyment for coaching will go through the roof when you are creating a tribe mentality. You will not get bored when you are having the meetups and having the month-to-month content in your Facebook group, whether you house that.
And well, listen, again, incredibly insightful, educational, inspiring. So huge thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
And we'll do this again. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.